from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Rachel Miro. Lawmakers in the state capitol do a lot of last-minute deal-making. Those on the inside say a lot of good gets done that wouldn't otherwise. But those outside the deal-making room, other lawmakers, you and I, have a hard time knowing what's going on. Proposition 54 on the November ballot promises to shake things up. KQED politics and government reporter Katie Orr takes a close look.
The end of the legislative session is a busy time in the state capitol. Lobbyists fill the halls outside the Senate and Assembly chambers, anxiously crowding around small TV screens, following their bills. As the clock ticks closer to the midnight deadline, last-minute negotiations often heat up in an attempt to get a measure over the legislative finish line. The scene can be tense, unpredictable, and for some, aggravating. During the end of the two-year session this past August, Republican Assemblyman Jay Obernolte lifted his mic and rose to voice his opposition to a bill that allocated $900 million in revenue from California's cap-and-trade program to limit carbon emissions.
Colleagues, I have a further concern with this bill. This bill was put into print at almost midnight last night. The ink on the bill is barely even dry.
It's a common complaint, especially among Republicans who are in the minority these days, left out of negotiations behind closed doors. And so they're often called on to vote for or against last-minute legislation they haven't had time to examine. Proposition 54 is an attempt to address those concerns. It would require a bill to be in print for at least 72 hours before the legislature could pass it. Supporters like Helen Hutchison with the California League of Women Voters say it will lead to a more transparent government.
By building in a minimum amount of time in which the press and the public can look at whatever the deal is, then we will have a better deal, a better law in the end.
Hutchison's organization is among a coalition of interest groups supporting the ballot measure. But Democratic consultant Stephen Maviglio, who's representing the No on 54 campaign, says the freedom to hammer out deals and the pressure of a firm deadline has allowed lawmakers to pass some landmark policies.
AB 32, the climate change law, the drought relief package, the water bond last year, this year's minimum wage.
Maviglio says the 72-hour requirement would just give interest groups time to blow up political deals they don't like.
Legislators are who they are. They'll probably put a lot of bills in print on a Friday and vote on them on Monday. Now, honestly, do people think that a lot of citizens are going to be on the edge of their couches all weekend looking and seeing what the legislature is doing by Monday morning? I doubt it. Lobbyists will, and that's why they want this.
In an effort to keep the initiative off the ballot, lawmakers tried to negotiate their own version of the measure earlier this year, but they were unable to reach an agreement with the initiative's backers. Prop 54 proponent and former Republican legislator Sam Blakesley says lawmakers have had numerous chances to pass a transparency bill they liked, but he says now it's up to the voters.
Over the years, legislators have authored nearly 10 different measures to require a bill to be in print for 72 hours before it could be voted on. Many of these proposals were defeated without being given even the courtesy of a hearing, let alone a vote, and none has ever passed out of a policy committee.
Blakesley's partner in pushing the initiative is conservative activist Charles Munger Jr., the measure's only donor. Munger has recently supported several political causes, including efforts to register Republican voters and one to identify and train potential Republican candidates. He's put more than $10 million into the passage of Prop 54. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
If you want to learn more about Proposition 54, including what role it could play in political ads, check out our voting guide at elections.kqed.org. The UC system struggles to compete for top talent in the sciences when it comes to postdoctoral researchers. Private schools and private industry often pay more and offer better benefits, which could explain the tentative contract these researchers are voting on this week as members of UAW 5810. That's the union representing more than 6,000 people at the University of California and Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. Under terms of the deal, members would get a 10% pay raise starting in December, more job security, and 4 weeks of paid parental leave. Carly Eben-Eaton is a postdoc in UC Berkeley's chemistry department.
That encourages
more of us to stay in academic research rather than looking to some of those really appealing outside opportunities.
Also in the proposal, improved protections regarding sexual harassment complaints. The vote will be tallied today. And finally, if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area this weekend or next, the Grand National Rodeo is in town at the Cow Palace.
Well, that's the daddy of them all.
That's 89-year-old Cotton Rosser, the owner of the Flying U Rodeo Company and a bit of an industry legend. We profiled him on the last California Report magazine. Rosser runs the company that produces this and nearly every other rodeo in the state.
Oh, I want to be a cowboy my whole life, yeah. I wear a white hat for the last 50 years because I'm a good guy, some people say. Anyways, I love what I do and I love going and... I'll be on a horse and be a big shot.
If you go, come up and say hi for us. And if you want to hear more about his life story, as told by reporter Lacey Jane Roberts, head online to californiareport.org and run a search for rodeo.
Support for the California Report comes from Block Construction, a builder committed to enhancing communities in the Bay Area and Central Coast. BLACH.com. Block Construction. Together, building greatness. The California Healthcare Foundation, dedicated to a healthcare system that works for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
This has been the California Report for Friday, October 14th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering from Jim Bennett, Howard Gelman, and Seal Muller. Guy Maserati and Tina Rubio direct the show. Our producer is Nina Thorson. Editors include Scott Schaefer, Ted Goldberg, and Polly Stryker. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer, Ethan Lindsay is the managing editor, and Holly Kernan is the executive editor of news. I'm Rachel Miro. Have a great weekend.